Israel, did you have any media votes for awards this year for the NBA?
No, I kind of got left behind this year. No votes. By the way, I happen to be on the flyover at the Golden Glades right now. So if I break up on you, it's because I'm stuck in a little traffic in the sky.
No, you actually sound maybe the best you've ever sounded on our show right now, to be completely honest
with
you.
I was doing vocal warm-ups the entire time.
I was just saying a few minutes ago, I don't know if you heard, but with the All-NBA coming out yesterday, it's a big deal now because a lot of guys' salaries, future salaries, is contingent upon what happens with the voting. And Dwayne Wade yesterday received a second-team All-NBA vote. And I love Dwayne Wade, all right? I don't need to defend my stance on Dwayne Wade, but Israel, like, that's a terrible job out of whoever does that, because you can't tell me Dwayne Wade's a top 3 or 4 guard in the NBA this year, and then we're also messing around with guys' salaries.
I mean,
go ahead.
It's a pretty bad idea, I think. I don't think a lot of these voters really understand the responsibility involved, and I think it's a shame, because you're right. Like, this is just, they do it maybe for attention, maybe to just, do right by an organization, by a player, and that's not the reasons why. I think it's interesting because I haven't seen, and maybe it's just because, I don't know, maybe I haven't been getting the emails or whatever, but I haven't seen that much promotion from teams like, hey, vote such and such for the All-NBA team. It's, for awards and stuff. But I wonder if teams are backing off that, hey, vote this guy for an All-NBA or whatnot, because then all of a sudden, you do that, and a few years later, the franchise is paying $40 million a year.
Yes, you're 100% right, because Klay Thompson missed out yesterday, and you can't tell me that the Warriors are not happy that he missed out.
No, I know. They're, they've got a few extra bucks in their pocket now, and I think it's too much of a stress creator.
All right, I'm going to put Israel on hold here. We'll see if we can connect to them better. Because he did give us a heads up that he's going through Golden Glades, so he could have a problem with his reception. He sounded so good at the start.
Is he in a plane?
And then we lost him. No, he said he's in his car in the Golden Glades. I know, like, he's on his way. I think he's on his way to sit in with Lebatard show. I think he's on his way down to South Beach right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Like, he's in his car on the way there, and he like Nostradamus. He gave us a heads up that is the Golden Glades known for an area? I guess because there's extra traffic around there. Maybe it's going to be a little bit more difficult for reception. Let's try with him here. Israel, you hear us okay?
I hear you.
There you go. Romber, go ahead. Romber got a question for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, when it comes to what's going on right now with Champagne Poppy and the shoulder rubbing right now of Nurse and the distraction that it's providing with Budenholzer, do you think that the league is going to come down on this thing and kind of create some kind of Drake stay the hell away from the coaches and shoulder rubs?
No, not at all. I think, the way I would handle it if I was the league is just check in with the Raptors and make sure that they don't think it's too much or over the top. And if the Raptors say, hey, we don't want to create this situation for the league, we don't want to, make you look bad or have you, be the source of any, I don't even know, a suspension or something or some sort of discussion. So don't come over to us and massage. But in terms of talking smack to the other players or, telling the referee some stuff, he has every right to do that from the bench. And I don't think, anybody can do anything about it, nor should they.
What's been standing out to me lately is a lot of the post-game interviews that Kawhi Leonard's been doing, and not because he's just dry as a popcorn fart, but just because the answers that he's giving are just so generic and expected. Have you ever had to interview him post-game?
Yeah, I've had a couple of times, and both times when I got to the third question, because I feel like he's only got so much to go to in his mind. No, he didn't walk away, but he dropped like I just said, and that's a killer for me. Like, come on, man. Like, I asked you an entirely different question. But I was cracking up last night in the back. Like, I felt terrible for Kristen Ledlow, because in her post game, like, obviously she's like, oh, dang it, I got to interview Kawhi, right? Uh-huh. He's not going to tell me much. And her first question, I'm sorry, her second question, it was either second or third question, she asked about what the team's mentality was, after this win. And he goes, I don't know. I haven't been in the locker room yet. But I'll ask them when I get there.
Yeah.
I feel bad for it.
Kawhi's got to stay with the Raptors, right? Like, that is such a good spot. He's got the entire country is behind him.
I don't know if that matters to him. And I'm not saying that it doesn't. I'm saying I literally don't know if that matters to him, because we haven't gotten any sort of emotional signal from Kawhi ever, other than that two-fisted, you know, robotic celebration that he does after he hits a giant shot. I think if they make it to the finals, if they give the Warriors a run, I think, yeah, I think he can stay. I mean, it's more, it's grass isn't always greener type of situation, but I do think, you know, the Clippers, because they are in L.A. and because Doc Rivers, you know, he's going to probably get the best out of a group, that Kawhi can feel confident that he'll go, you know, the place he's more comfortable and still have that same role and still get maxed out in terms of what he can do. And so I think just because that's dangling out there as a possibility, I don't think it's a sure thing that he re-signs with the Raptors. But they make the finals, man. I think it's the best chance they could ever ask for.
I'm sure you've been in a lot of, like, electric arenas in the past, but it just seems to me, watching this thing through the television, every foul shot, every miss, every dribble, every rebound, it just seems like Toronto is
good environment.
Fully punch drunk on what's going on right now in Toronto. Are you going to have an opportunity to go up there for this game six at all, or are you staying down here?
No, I'm staying down here. I basically don't have to do any games after the second round.
Have you experienced something like this before? Like, do you see what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think Toronto, it's a weird thing. Like, when you've got Kawhi Leonard and he's such a stable, you know, he doesn't get worked up. He doesn't, succumb to pressure. You can't even tell if he's feeling anything at all. I think it's a lot easier for the rest of the team to just play without any pressure. Like, I've never seen Kyle Lowry this calm in the playoffs.
It's the best Lowry's ever looked in the playoffs by far.
Yeah, yeah. He's just been, ever since that, you know, midway through that second round, it's just like, whatever. Like, I'm just going to be me, because Kawhi is going to get all the blame, and so it's not me and DeMar anymore. And so I think it's just, they're relaxed and they're playing well. And, you know, even a guy like Marcus Gasol, who's got all the accolades he's had, isn't required to do as much. And so, you know, he can focus a little bit, and Serge Ibaka's playing hard. And, you know, so all those complimentary pieces are playing well around Kawhi. It's just a little bit easier than it is for the other side, which is, you know, with Giannis and all these other guys around him, it's almost a tension. Like, man, they're clearly taking Giannis out of this game. It's on me now. And the people who are saying that are Eric Bledsoe and Brooke Lopez and Nikola Mirotic and guys like that. And that's just not good enough. I don't, you know, Chris Middleton as your number two.
Oh, he's been terrible.
Good enough.
He's
I don't think so.
Israel has been terrible.
Yeah, he had the 130-point game, and that was still in a loss, though. And so this is going to be that conversation of, hey, you know, Antetokounmpo's got to get better. This is, you know, his test, because it's his team. He's got to lift everyone up. But in reality, he needs a solid number two. LeBron didn't win a championship till he had Dwayne Wade. And we're in the era now that you just can't do it all like Michael did, and especially if you don't have a jumper.
Israel, do the Warriors, and when I say the Warriors, I mean Curry, Thompson, Draymond Green. Do the Warriors secretly want Kevin Durant not to come back?
No. No, he makes their lives so much easier for 82 games. And they can secure themselves the top two seed every year that he's with that team without trying very hard. And then in the playoffs, they turn it on, and maybe they share a little bit of the accolades or what have you, assuming everybody's healthy. And, you know, I think this Warriors team, because they started this era, this dynasty, without KD, just want to maintain the dynasty as long as possible, because Steph, Clay, and Draymond are going to get all the credit no matter what. The only one who's going to, you know, maybe get slightly less is KD, because, you know, people think he took the easy route and yada yada, even though he's got the finals MVPs. I think the Warriors want it to work out as well as possible with KD for the next 3 or 4 years and, you know, gobble up all the championships.
Have you ever had a player essentially call you a liar the way that you've had the back and forth between Broussard and Durant like this?
That one's a little confusing, just because, I mean, maybe Durant forgot. I mean, because if you're DMing, I mean, especially if you're as active as Kevin Durant is on these social media sites, like, maybe he DM'd him for a couple of hours, a few nights.
It was drunk texting?
No. I think it was DM. I mean, obviously. But, you know, Broussard doesn't really have that...
Technicalities. We speak in technicalities.
Doesn't have the terminology right. But, yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Durant could have forgotten and just said, man, you don't even have my number. And then he's probably, when he was reminded that it was a DM, he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that now, damn it. You know, but it doesn't mean, like, it's a little bit of just name-dropping there by Broussard anyway, because, you know, did they mention when that was? Even if it was,
he said a couple of years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we've seen Kevin Durant go through a lot and, you know, be a different player than he was even a couple of years ago, a different person than he was even a couple of years ago. And to just, you know, drop, oh, I had a long conversations with him, yada, yada, doesn't really give you any insight into who Kevin Durant is now and any decisions that he's making. So it was just a cheap name drop by Broussard who, you know, probably got the attention he wanted out of it.
And how excited are you the fact that Jalen Rose came back out and said that this hiring by the Michigan Wolverines for Juwan Howard is going to reunite the Fab Five?
I'm not excited at all.
You don't care?
Go back. I mean, they're going to take off 20 years of their life and start playing basketball again. I mean, I don't care that they're going to have a reunion and that Chris Webber and Juwan Howard are friends. Like, I don't care if Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett are ever friends again. But, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, then probably you're worked up about it.
Do you know much about the Webber-Rose dynamic? Because that's the part that's most interesting to me. Because, like Jalen Rose said yesterday, yes, me and C. Webb, we are going to get together. Everything is going to be cool.
I'm not really into it because, I mean, unless there are some, you know, salacious details or whatever, and even that, it doesn't, like, that stuff just doesn't get to me. Like, I don't care how they're getting along after their playing days. It's just, I mean, unless there was some sort of crazy falling out that had something to do with, I mean, whatever the 2000 or the 1999 or whatever years that was, version of Tony Braxton is involved, like, I don't really care.
Israel, excellent job. We will, I don't know. We'll see you eventually. I was going to say, like, we'll see you something. I don't know when I'm going to see you, you know? Like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you on Levitard today?
One day. I am on Levitard today and HQ today.
All right. We'll see you. We'll see you on television on Levitard today.
There you go. I'll say hi.
All right, see
you. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.